Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, how do Israelis usually react when they hear Yiddish spoken in an Israeli film? Danny Rosenberg was born in Tel Aviv in 1979 and graduated from the Sam Spiegel Film School in Jerusalem in 2006. His 2004 film, The Red Toy, received Best Short Film Awards in 9 international film festivals, and the following year, his Don Quixote in Jerusalem received a special mention in the Berlinale official competition and also won several awards in international festivals. We recently had the opportunity to see his most well-known film, Homeland, which was released in 2007. It tells the story of a young Holocaust survivor who flees Europe in 1948 and arrives in Israel, where he's immediately handed a gun and sent to an isolated outpost in the desert, which is manned by only one other soldier. The film is almost entirely in Yiddish and shows the contrast between the Sabra and Eastern European mentalities. After the showing of the film, there was a discussion with the director, who later gave an exclusive interview to English Corner.
Thank you for speaking with us, Danny. Could you tell us first a little bit about your own background?
I was born in Tel Aviv. I studied film in the Sam Spiegel School in Jerusalem. Since I was a kid, I had a desire for film, so it was a natural step for me. And I finished the studying in 2007, and then I made the film Homeland, Beit Avi, Mein Tate Shtub. The film tells a story about a Holocaust survivor that came to Israel in 48 during the war. Then he found himself in an army outpost with another officer, he himself also a Holocaust survivor. And the film is about the struggle between them, that in the end, Lolek find a way, Lolek is the protagonist, find a way to go back home.
The English Forward wrote about this film, and something that it says is that the battle between the two characters is not merely between soldier and commander, but between two contradictory perspectives on a question, what does it mean to be a Jew in Israel? Can you comment on that?
I think that's exactly what I had in mind when I was thinking about the film, because I started to write the film thinking about our society today and what can we learn from the past. And what is the Jewish identity and what it's mean to kill the Jewish identity and what's the cause of killing the Jewish identity?
Something that I've noticed a lot is that identity seems to be a recurrent theme in films and in general Israeli culture. And something that I've noticed that I'd like you to comment on is this. It seems to me, and I have never lived in Israel, but just from my impression, it seems to me that the first generation that came here, say in the 40s and 50s, wanted to become Israeli. They changed their name. They left their language. They kind of tried to change their identity. They destroyed their previous identity, personal as well as cultural. And that's how they raised their children. So the generation that was, say, born in the 50s were Sabras. They rejected the past. They rejected the old European culture.
Indeed.
And what seems to me to be happening now is that the grandchildren, that is your generation, is searching for roots, is going back.
Exactly. And from my perspective, I can say personal story, for example, that my parents call me Dani, D-A-N-I. No, they didn't call me Daniel. They insist of not calling me Daniel. So they really insist of not putting the Yel, that it's first referred to a biblical name, Daniel, you know, the prophet Daniel, and it's El, a god. They insist of killing the god, and I looking for these roots, Because I know that, I think that actually our parents' generation are in some kind of a cul-de-sac, you know, the dead end. Because they killed their old identity, but I didn't think that they find a new identity.
Do you think that identity and roots are the same thing? Because, for example, I'm from the United States, and while we don't have any problem with identity, either American identity or Jewish identity, the generation of the grandchildren of the immigrants who assimilated does go back and look for roots, but without having the identity problem.
Yeah, I think in the U.S., there is something that being in the U.S. in the narrative, in the mythological narrative of the U.S. is starting, you know, from nothing, the wilderness. You can, you know, talk about a lot about it, but to come to the U.S. is the new future, the new beginning. And Jewish coming to Israel are not coming for a new beginning. They are coming to the old country. But what is this old country?
What is this old country?
And that's exactly what we are trying to find out. Because if there is an old country, so exactly what the meaning of us being in this old country, how it's reflect to our identity as a Jew, as an Israeli, and as someone that are living with another nation, with the Palestinian. If this is our old country, so what is for them, the Palestinian? And all those questions just do not exist in our parents' narrative of there is no Jewish identity. Because if there is not a Jewish identity, so what the hell are you doing in this country? And first. Second, because they tell themselves that they are not a Jewish identity, so how this country is so racist because of Judaism? So I think you have to conceal and you have to understand all those questions, because this country, you can enter this country only because if you are Jewish. Now, this country is actually racist to other nations. And I think our generation don't take this racism for granted. And I'm trying to understand what's the roots and what is the solution.
Something else that surprised me about Israel is that it's not really homogeneous. I mean, there are a lot of different Jewish identities in Israel, and yet they've tried to kill off what they consider old Jewish identity, but yet you go to different places in Israel and you find different Jewish identities.
Yes, because what is Jewish identity? What is actually, it's racist to the people that come from the Arab countries, because let's say a phrase, Jewish food. Why Jewish food is only gefilte fish and not mafroum from Morocco? You know, the Jewish food, the Jewish identity is also something that only refers to the Eastern European identity. We have a lot of identity because we have a lot of Jewish from a lot of countries. Once it was only one identity of the European, East European actually identity, that was the upper identity. But now, in our days, you know, the people that come from Arab countries have their own search for identity of their own grandparents. They understand what's happened to their memories, and now they stood up. Now they can stood up.
Because you mentioned the main identity being Eastern European, and yet in the same article from the Forward, it says, how have the Israelis been reacting to this film? In Israel, when you hear Yiddish in a film, you assume it's a comedy because Yiddish feels like something far away and irrelevant to them, you said. So at every screening, you said, that you had attended, when in the first scene, the protagonist answers the commander with the word vus, meaning what, everybody laughed, but after the first 5 minutes, they weren't laughing anymore. Mm-hmm. So even though this was supposedly the more important Jewish identity, people think it's funny.
Yes, because that's what happened to the Yiddish itself. Yiddish become something that only to make the old Jewish from the old country become ridiculous. In Israeli films, when people start to talk in Yiddish, so it's meant that they are ridiculous, that they are not related to what's happening today, that are just, you know, living in the past. And I think that what was strange in the beginning in this film, that I took Itai Tiran, and Itai Tiran here in Israel is really, you know, very famous actor, and also some kind of a sex icon. And this very handsome guy speaking in Yiddish that's supposed to be only for the old, ridiculous people. So that was, I think, in the beginning, the misunderstanding of the audience.
Something that you said in the conversation that we had after the showing of the film was that in Israel there's a lack of a Jewish soul. What did you mean by that?
If you see now how Israel as a state is behave to other nation, and also in our country, you know, just let's say, talk about something that's happening now. There are refugees from Africa that are coming to Israel looking for a job, and there are demonstrations against them. People tell, you know, they come with a disease, we have to lock them, we have to kick them out. And you know, the same refugees could be the people that are in those demonstrations don't think that their grandfathers and grandmothers in Poland or in Morocco or in Russia or in Tehran were refugees only before 60 years. And the Jewish nation, our nation of refugees for all over the years, and now we have a state and the refugees coming here, and we said in a very racist way, go out. This is only the state of the Jewish, this is the place of Jewish. No one else could be here. And you know, there are demonstrations for girls. Don't go with the Arabs because the Jewish blood is upper, you know. So we need a Jewish soul. The perspective of the victim, not of the controller, not the perspective of the one with the power. We need to think a little bit more like someone weak. Because Israel is now like acting like the bully of the neighborhood, you know?
I've heard Israelis answer that argument by saying, now that we're a country, why should we be different from any other country? And why should we have higher standards or different standards from any other country that deals with its immigrants in the same way?
Well, first, we are not dealing with immigrants in the same way. Secondly, like even Echad Ha'am said and Herzl said, we have to be the light for the other nation. So we, because of our unique history, is supposed to be much more humanity from any other nation.
Changing the subject a little bit, can you tell us about what you're working on now?
I'm just finished a documentary film called Susia. It's about the old Jewish town of Susia. The story tells about a father and a son, a Palestinian father and son, that were living in Susia, where this place was a Palestinian village. But in 85, they uprooted the village and make it an archaeological site of the Jewish town. And now they came back to see their old village by buying a ticket for the archaeological site. So it's the story of the past and the present combine in a very comic, tragic way.
And this film, you said, will be shown in the Berlinale.
Yes, this film will be shown in the Berlinale, will be premiere in the Berlinale in February.
So it's just about finished. Do you have anything else in the works?
I'm raising money for a feature film. I hope to shoot it during next summer. I hope I could raise the money until next summer to shoot it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSefarad.com. I'll leave you now with Eretz Zabat Chalab Udvash, Land of Milk and Honey, by the Oranim Tzafar Israeli Troupe. See you next week.
I love the bash, Eretz Zabat Chalav. I love the bash.